Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
This is DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg.
I've held this the entire show, and now I have it, and I'm going to read it, and you guys are going to lose your minds over it. The draft challenge. I'd like both of you to participate. Now, you can't win like everyone else can, but are you ready for this, Rick? I think you're going to lose your mind with this. Chris, you will as well. You guys ready for this?
Let's do it, Dave.
I mean, the way you're selling it, I'm not sure. Can I be ready? I mean, I'm going to be... Let me read it to you,
and you'll digest it, and we'll discuss this. The NFL draft right around the corner next Thursday, and 98.7 ESPN is celebrating the return of football with the draft challenge. By correctly predicting the results of the first 11 picks, you can win 4 tickets to the Jets home opener, plus the jersey of the Jets' first pick. To enter, text DRAFT to 44202. Followed by your picks listed 1 through 11. We'll assign a point for every correct pick and 2 points for a correct Jets and Giants selection. If you think there's going to be a trade, just use the word trade for that pick, all from your home for the NFL Draft, 98.7 ESPN. What do you think about that little contest?
Dave, I think our listeners should be able to win that contest. One of our listeners.
First 11? That's a lot.
I feel like one of our listeners should be able to win that contest.
First 11. Ooh, I don't know. But don't you, Rick, love this contest?
I love it. I mean, how many people? I mean, I'm sure that there's a vast majority of the people that listen to our show, Giants and Jets fans, that probably go through that exercise, especially now, go through that exact exercise on a regular basis, trying to figure out who their team's going to pick, you know, who's going to go ahead of their team, and who will be available at 11. Absolutely. I can't wait for that. There's some wild cards, though. Yeah, I mean, Gettleman, your boy Dave Gettleman, I mean, he's a bit of a wild card.
Yeah, very much
so. Bit of a wild card.
Very, very much so. He could go in any direction.
I mean, it would make sense to go offensive tackle, but, I mean, he could very easily go Isaiah Simmons, too.
He could, which would not,
fingers crossed, Derek
Brown. Would not freak me out. If he went Isaiah Simmons, we're not going to turn on the radio on next Friday and be upset about it. That would not be a bad selection.
No, it wouldn't be a bad selection, but it wouldn't be my favorite selection for the Giants.
Although I have heard that the Giants are, at this moment, and that can change, leaning towards an offensive lineman at 4 overall.
Did you hear what offensive lineman it was?
I did not. I just heard that the Giants, at this moment, are leaning heavily towards offensive linemen.
Yeah, from what I hear, it's worse.
Really?
They're leaning.
So you heard the same thing then?
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, listen, it would make sense. It's hard to find a bad offensive lineman to come out of Iowa. And all the things that Wirfs did at the combine, and then you look at the tape, I mean, he's a solid player. I mean, when you start talking about checks every single box, that is Tristan Wirfs. If you're looking for an offensive lineman, a guy that has versatility, can play left or right tackle, it makes sense to go that direction.
So do you think you can draft him, plug and play him at left tackle to start, or you think it would still be Solder and he occupies right tackle until he's ready for that change?
Well, I think you have the luxury of being able to figure it out, because right now Nate Solder, although he's not the best left tackle, he's serviceable. And then if you have to, you know, if you plug in Wirfs at right tackle because it's a more natural fit for him, I mean, he can grow into being a left tackle. Dave, it's not like the guy's not a good athlete.
Sure.
He's an outstanding athlete. So, I mean, you have the opportunity to be able to allow him to grow into the role if he's not ready for that role day one. But what I like about it is you have the makings of a really good young offensive line. I mean, you drafted Will Hernandez to play your left guard a couple of years ago. Now you're talking about adding Wirfs. You made the trade for Zeitler. So you feel good about those three players being the nucleus of whatever your offensive line will be for the foreseeable future. Isn't that the most important thing when you start talking about developing a young quarterback?
You'd think so. And then you might say, you know what, at some point in the second or third round, you take the center. And then you make the offensive line into a complete strength, and you surround Barkley and Jones and Engram and Slayton and the receivers with an excellent offensive line, and you start to look at this offense that could be a real threat in
but
the
I
NFL.
Think, but I think that's why Rick is saying that if you take Isaiah Simmons, it wouldn't be his favorite pick for the Giants, because you do recognize that there is an opportunity to make that offensive line a point of strength when, for the better part of this decade, it's been one of the team's biggest weaknesses.
I mean, the biggest question about Isaiah Simmons, and he's a freak athlete. And I mean, if anyone's watched any Clemson games, you realize how good he really is. But I mean, the question still remains: where do you play him? Which is an important question. And what's the identity of your defense? You don't have a defense. There is no identity because you really don't have a defense. At least on the offensive side of the ball, with what you spent on draft picks. I mean, there is. I mean, it's definitely closer to being a good unit. And why not solidify that unit? I mean, you spent a second overall draft pick on a running back and a sixth overall pick on a quarterback.
Yeah.
Why not get the best out of those two guys?
Yeah. And you can draft any offensive lineman you want at four. Anybody you want.
Yeah, but don't forget. I mean, listen, Isaiah Simmons is great. I would never take that away from Isaiah Simmons. But that's a pretty good Clemson defense. Like, he's surrounded by talent. You're going to put him in a situation in his rookie year with no OTAs and everything else where he's not really surrounded by any talent? What's the game plan? Just go out and just be you.
Yeah. I mean, that's pretty much what it would be. We think you're such a difference maker that just adding you to the defense makes us considerably better.
Which is a tall task.
That's a lot. Yeah, that's a lot to put on that kid.
A lot. All right. I have my very, very hot take.
Let's do it.
You want to do it right at this moment?
Well, if we don't do it now, when are we going to do it?
Okay.
I'm hoping this is a New York Islanders take.
No.
Because we got a big day, April 30th.
Very disappointed. Yeah, it's Sorokin is on the horizon.
Oh, yeah, baby.
Yeah, he'd be the second best goalie in New York. It'd be nice.
Listen, relax, would you please?
Fuck, come on. I mean, look what we've seen.
You're getting the best goalie from the KHL.
Look what we've seen from
the Rangers. For years to come.
Looks unbelievable.
Sorokin, Shesterkin.
Yeah. Be nice to have that for the next 10, 12 years. Be great.
It's going to be great.
You know, something good when the Islanders and Rangers are both good, which we haven't seen in a very long time.
What do you mean? Both teams are good this year?
No, I'm saying it's something nice when you get the Islanders and Rangers to be good. This year you have it, but you haven't had it in a very long time.
All right. Give me your take. I'm ready for
it. All right. Hot take, and I'm not going to do what you guys do where it's just football, and I've done that in the past where we just kind of use football as an easy scapegoat. I'm not doing it. I'm going in a different direction. I'm going in the National Hockey League, the NHL.
Oh, yes.
That's right.
Yes.
That's right.
I like it.
Five questions from each of you. Start it up.
Do you want me to do the honors, Rico?
Yeah, you paved the way. Ask him a question, maybe he'll give you some insight.
Okay, are we talking about a team in the Eastern Conference?
We are talking about a team in the Eastern Conference. Chris, that's question number one.
Talking about a team in the Eastern Conference.
Yes.
Are we talking about an individual player in the Eastern Conference?
Lovely question. The answer to that would be an emphatic no. No, we are not talking about an individual player.
Okay, are we talking about a team in the Metropolitan Division?
We are, in fact, talking about a team in the Metropolitan Division. Question two, bottom of the second for Rick.
A team in the Metropolitan. Are we talking about the Washington Capitals?
We are not talking about the Stanley Cup champion Washington Capitals, no.
Are we talking about one of the local hockey teams?
That would be an emphatic yes. Yes, we are talking about one of the local hockey teams. We go to the bottom of the third.
Are we talking about my New York Islanders?
We are not discussing your New York Islanders. No. No, no.
So that would mean we're talking about your blue shirts.
Or your blue shirts, Chris, that would be correct. We are talking about
our
collective
blue shirts.
We go to the bottom of the fourth.
Are we talking about your blue shirts potentially being a playoff team next season?
No, no, that's not where we're going. We're going much bigger than that. It's not about
next season.
I'm going to give you a little hint. It's not about next season, and it's not about qualifying for the postseason. We go.
Oh, this is ridiculous.
To the fifth.
Not about qualifying for the postseason. Huh. Okay.
This is going to be, I have an idea.
This is going to be a scorching hot take.
This is almost absurd, yeah.
It's
almost nonsensical. It's almost nonsensical.
It's not.
Okay.
I think when you hear it, you'll say, you know what, it's plausible.
It's not about getting into the postseason. But is it about overall standings?
Is it about overall standings? No.
No? Okay.
No. No, no.
All right, I'm out of questions.
The hot take is this. The hot take is this.
Here's the thing, Rick. You can have another question and then have a guess or two at the hot take if you'd like.
No, I don't need it.
Okay.
It's ridiculous.
You don't even know it. How can you say it's ridiculous?
The New York Rangers will win a Stanley Cup in the next 5 years.
Yeah, you knew it. That's exactly it. How is that ridiculous?
I'm on fire with the guesses.
By the time we get to
that was pretty good.
By the time we get to, it was excellent job by both of you. By the time we get to 2025, the New York Rangers will hoist Lord Stanley's Cup. How is that a ridiculous hot take? It's a beautiful hot take.
That is as open-ended of a hot take as you could possibly have, right?
Yeah, I mean, he's just, he
I mean, we gotta wait 5 years before we can revisit this thing.
Okay.
That was a 949. Just popped into his head. He's like, I'll use that as my hot take.
I thought about it on Friday. I said, when I'm up, I'm not going football where you guys did this. No, I'm out. I'm going to branch out to a sport that hasn't seen us participate with a hot take, and that's where I'm going.
Yeah, I don't love it.
I don't like it either.
You don't, you
I like
dislike.
It
should have been something spicier, like the Rangers are going to win the division next year. I don't know. I feel like you could have thrown something out there.
So you just don't like the longevity of my prediction?
Yeah, and we might not have to wait 5 years because they could win the whole thing in the next 2 or 3 years. But I don't like it being that open-ended. Like it's
so
supposed
to be
something.
You just don't like that I put a 5-year cap on my hot take.
No, I'm just saying the hot take should be provocative. It should have some more urgency. You know what I mean? Like this is going to happen soon.
So you need an immediate payoff for the hot take.
I would like the payoff to happen in the next calendar year. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
I don't think I'm that off base by saying that.
So is that something you'd like to incorporate into the game, is that the hot take has to have fruition to complete in the next year?
No, I don't think so. I mean, the more I think about it, the more I appreciate what you're doing here. I mean, you're just – this is – it's hot. I mean, it's definitely – the Rangers aren't even a playoff team at the moment. So, I mean, it's spicy, and it also, I mean, gives you 5 years to be right. I kind of actually – devious, but I kind of like it.
So you're falling in love with my hot take.
Yeah, I mean, this is you're covering all your bases because it is.
I mean,
spicy.
They have a young core. They have
a
terrific GM, wonderful president. Love the head coach. Young netminder. I don't see what's not to love about the future of this team.
I would agree with you. I just think Chris wants like some immediacy. Like he wants whatever you're going to say, he wants it happen in months or years, months or a year as opposed to.
Listen, if that's what you guys would like to incorporate as a rule of the hot take, then I will abide by those rules and I will not come up with anything that's years down the road in the future. But as of today, when I was contemplating where I should go and decided upon this was the one that I was going to go with, because I have a whole laundry list of hot takes I can come with. This was the one that seemed like it was the spiciest one today.
Now, don't get me wrong, Dave. I want you to be right, you know, for our sake, you know, rooting for our team. It's just one of those things where it's like, I just feel like you could have came up with something a little, you know, something that would have a little more relevance, you know, as we talk about next season.
All right. I mean, you're right. I don't feel as confidently the next season they win the division. I think they're a playoff team next year. But that's underwhelming. I mean, they're almost a playoff team this year, so that didn't really move the needle for me.
I got you.
And then I'm not gonna go crazy and say they're gonna win the cup next year because I don't believe that to be true. So yeah, I went 5 years down the road. I will attempt in the future to limit my hot takes to within the next 12 months.
Okay.
So I understand. All right. I understand. And I apologize for it. I'll be better. Although I think
you don't have to apologize for it.
No, I'm sorry. Sorry. I got to be better for us, for the show, for everyone. I apologize. You want another little hot take that Mike Greenberg read on Get Up this morning from one Todd McShay?
Yeah, give it to me.
Take a listen to this hot take.
I would like now to show you a note I got from your friend and mine, Mr. Todd McShay, draft analyst extraordinaire. This is what he wrote to me. Quote, Sam Darnold was more talented than Baker Mayfield, Kyler Murray, and Joe Burrow coming out of college. Darnold just needs people around him.
That's nice. It's a hot take, Rick, that he's more talented than any of those three quarterbacks. He just needs a little support system there with your fancy New York Jets.
Yeah, which is easier said than done. I mean, he could also use a good head coach, which he currently doesn't have. So, I mean, yeah, that's great, and he's got all this talent. But, I mean, until you develop it the right way and you surround him with the right talent, then you're not going to get the best out of him. I mean, just say, listen, it isn't by accident that the two most successful quarterbacks from that draft are Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson.
Because they went to the best run organizations out of the five that win the first round.
Exactly right.
Yeah. Now, I don't even think it's a question,
but
you're
three now.
What'd you say?
There needs to be a little bit of urgency here, too, because he's in year three already.
Mm-hmm.
So, the beauty of having a young quarterback
games.
Is... Yeah, the Jets need to... Yeah, the Jets need, especially now because you're going to have an extra playoff team, they're going to have to find a way to get themselves into the playoff conversation this season.
You know what?
We're
you're
done
right.
selling hope. It's not about hope anymore.
No, it's not about hope. They actually got to go out there and produce. And now, I mean, 7-9, you know, that's enough with the losing seasons. You're going to have to finally get into that territory when you're winning more games than you lose. And you just hope that in year two, even though it had a horrific start, you lean on the fact that in the 13 starts, Sam went 7-6. So maybe it can use that as something to build on. But, Rick, you're absolutely right, man. It's not about Sam Darnold. It's really about the organization around him putting the pieces in place that he needs in order to be successful. We know the talent has been there. It's just a matter of them being able to get the most out of him and get him to the point where he can consistently have those splash plays. Like we saw what he did in the game against the Dallas Cowboys. You saw the throw that he made at the beginning of the second quarter in that game on Thursday night against the Baltimore Ravens. Like we saw what he did his rookie year up in Buffalo. Like those are the moments that you look at and you're like, man, that kid has got something special, but it's up to the organization to, number one, protect him so he develops properly, but then also to put the pieces in place to take advantage of what he brings to the table. And in either area, you have little to no confidence that the Jets are going to be capable of doing that.
Yeah, but Rick, you said something that I completely agree with. This is his third year. He needs to step up in a major way. And a couple of things. I don't know that he has the weapons to do that. Certainly right now he doesn't have the weapons to do that. But I'll ask you this. How many quarterbacks have 3 years where you're like, yeah, he's good, but he's not great. And then all of a sudden they develop into that kind of a quarterback. You don't see that happen very often.
No, you don't. I mean, what you've seen more often lately is that the quarterback, if handled and developed the right way, has that big step in year two, and then it's just continues on that progression. But at this point, my biggest fear is, and we took phone calls last year on this, is, you know, Sam Darnold being a bust and everything else. If you have if the Jets have the third overall pick, they should take Tua. We had those calls last year. Is that all of a sudden now the ineptitude of the organization starts rubbing off on how people feel about your quarterback? Because it goes hand in hand.
Well, yeah, if they don't win, people are going to blame.
That would be a sin.
Yeah, it would be. But if they don't win, they're going to blame Adam Gase first. But Sam Darnold's not going to be too much further down the line. So, I mean, you're trying to avoid that if you're the Jets. And really, what this comes down to is the head coach being able to do what you hired him to do, which is build an offensive system around your young quarterback that takes advantage of what he does well. And that's the one thing that we can say Adam Gase absolutely did not do last year, because they had the worst offense in the NFL by far. It wasn't even close. So at some point, your head coach is going to have to do what you hired him to do.
Yeah, he's going to have to, and you're going to have to win games, because the last thing you'd want to have happen is all of a sudden now you don't, and your quarterback kind of all of a sudden is plateaued, and you have to have a new head coach with a new system.
No.
Which would be another new system
for this kid? I mean, you can't have that.
No, you can't, because now all of a sudden you're taking, I mean, you take a step forward, you take two steps back. And then all of a sudden you wake up and, you know, you're in year five.
And you got
to trying to make a decision. What do we do?
Right.
Well, now you got to pay him, or now you got to make a decision. Do we let him play those fifth-year option? I mean, Jameis Winston was the first overall pick. Marcus Mariota was, what, second overall pick?
Uh-huh.
I mean, we've seen it happen. Maybe the last thing that you'd want to have happen is for him to waste his talent because you couldn't handle him right.
You're right. And that's been the concern with you guys the entirety of drafting Sam Darnold is, and I don't think anybody's ever said he's not ultimately a really talented player. It's just, is he in the right system? And you look at it now, and I think you have real reservations multiple ways. You have real reservations about the head coach, Chris, and you have real reservations about the lack of talent surrounding him right now.
No, you do, which is why you hate what happened this offseason happening. I mean, obviously it's outside of your control with the pandemic going on, but this would have been a great offseason for Sam Darnold to have another OTAs, another mini camp with Adam Gase and actually learn the system and beyond just learning it, like get into the nuances that determine whether or not a quarterback is going to really be successful. I think that's the part of it that you miss because there's a real chance for your quarterback to grow. I mean, the growth for players in the National Football League happens in the first 3 years. And so when you're talking about missing this entire offseason and not having an opportunity to be in the building, watching film with your head coach and trying to see the game the way that your coach sees it or Adam Gase seeing it the way that Sam sees it, I think that's a missed opportunity. And so it's only going to add to the degree of difficulty once we get started with games this fall. But I mean, yeah, this is a huge year for Sam, but this is a make or break year for Adam Gase.
Yeah, I think, I mean, as much as we sit here and we talk about the young quarterback being ready, I think the franchise that drafts that quarterback has to be ready to have the pieces in place to get the best out of the quarterback. I mean, Dak Prescott was a fourth-round draft pick that was put in an ideal situation for a young quarterback, and now all of a sudden, you know, he's blossomed into a guy who's going to be making, what, $35-37 million a year.
Yep.
That's won the division a couple times. I mean, if he's putting, I mean, if you took Dak Prescott and, you know, just took him in his rookie year and put him on the New York Jets, there is no chance with what Sam Darnold has dealt with.
No.
That Dak Prescott is in the same exact spot.
And
no
Rick,
chance.
You can look at the quarterback that preceded Dak Prescott and Tony Romo. Who was Tony Romo before he took over in 2006? He was just known as the guy that you want to go play golf with. He wasn't even the backup quarterback. That was Drew Henson. So, I mean, but that just goes to show you when you have a competent organization in place, you can develop those key positions, and there's none in football more important than the quarterback. So, I mean, the Jets haven't shown the ability to do that, and now that they have a player that's clearly talented, you're just hoping that they can do right by him and take full advantage of what he brings to the table. And it's one of those things where you go back to that Adam Gase hire, man, and I don't necessarily know that the reasons why they hired Adam Gase were good reasons, and it could ultimately end up being something that the Jets end up paying for by not getting Sam to reach his full potential.
Now, this is interesting. I get a tweet from Jason Munoz. He says, you're talking about guys that flourish after year three. Here's three of them to start. Rich Gannon, Steve Young, Vinny Testaverde. And my response to that was, Rich Gannon, Steve Young, Vinny Testaverde all flourished with other teams that they were originally drafted from.
Yes.
So, yes. It's possible, but it's very rare that a guy 3 years in is average and doesn't really wow you, and then after that, with that same team, develops himself into a big-time quarterback. It's a rarity in the NFL.
Yeah, you're talking about guys that change scenery. That's what it is. And usually it's about something. Go ahead.
No, but Chris, that's what scares me to death, though. I mean, it's just not the Jets. I mean, same thing can be said about the Knicks. Like, I mean, the biggest fear for us, I think there's a huge fear with the New York Mets, is that whoever you have that you can't develop doesn't reach his full potential with you, and then all of a sudden in a different jersey reaches his full potential, and you get stuck looking like an idiot because you couldn't get the best out of that player.
Yeah, and then Edward Spencer
drives you
tweets,
crazy.
Don't contradict yourself. How many quarterbacks aren't great by year three? Eli won in year four, but Eli won the division in year two. Eli went to the playoffs before that. Eli's by far well more advanced than what Sam Darnold was early on in his career. Way more.
Yeah, I think that's a terrible comparison.
Yeah,
here's the thing
get,
I think a lot of friends... No, it's brutal. But you know what the problem is, too, a lot of the times, Dave, is that just because you've identified your franchise player, you can't stop building the franchise. You can't stop building the franchise around that player. You can't all of a sudden get lazy. Well, we identified our guy. Well, that's fine. You identified your guy. He's still a young kid that needs to support around him to get the best out of him. And the Jets have not done that with Sam Darnold at all.
No. And that's why this year three is so unbelievably important. Now, of course, there's everyday actions to help prevent the spread of respiratory diseases. Wash your hands. Avoid close contact with people who are sick. Avoid touching your eyes, your nose, and your mouth. Stay home when you're sick. Cover your cough or sneeze. Clean and disinfect frequently touched objects. For more information, visit cdc.gov/COVID-19. This message brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters and 98.7 ESPN New York. Now, I never want to step on your toes. I know it's Knobservations time. So you have time for Knobservations. Do you want to start it now? Do you have an extended Knobservations? Should we start it in 4 minutes from now? What do you want to do?
No, it's up to you. I mean, you want to take
No, it's up to you. I don't know how many stories you have for Knobservations.
I have as many as you need. I could be fully loaded. I could be late. I could save some for tomorrow. I mean, we're only in Monday.
Right.
So, I mean, I could save some for tomorrow. It's up to you.
Do you want to speak to some of the people who are on hold? Do you want to get right to Knobservations?
Yeah, I want to take a couple calls. Let's take a couple calls. But before we do that, here's the other thing too. I was thinking about what we were in break with the whole Sam Darnold thing is because you haven't surrounded him with talent and, you know, hopefully they address that if it's with the 11th pick, whenever it ends up being to. This kid, because he does have a ton of talent and he does believe in how good he is, you force him to be great. And now you force him into situations where, you know, he'll end up doing things that he probably shouldn't, but because, you know, he believes in who he is, that he'll take those chances. And then because they're not equating to success or winning, now you'll be forced to blame. And now the fan base blames him.
Yeah, someone's got to get blamed.
But the beauty of developing on a good team is that usually on good teams you win. So it's like if I'm Grant Fuhr playing on the Edmonton Oilers, right? We're winning games 6-5. Well, we're still winning. So no one's really like dissecting why you lost. Well, we're not dissecting the five goals because we won. The five goals are forgot about because we won the game 6-5. If all of a sudden now you're letting in five and you're losing 5-4, now you start looking at every single one of those five goals breaking
down. And
now
you have a goaltending issue, yes.
Yes, exactly right.
You're 100% right. Let's go to Ira in Staten Island. Ira, you're next up on 98.7.
Hey, Dave. Good morning, guys. How are you? Glad everybody's good. You know, you talk about organizations and how they develop quarterbacks. I mean, you could go back with the Jets almost. Man, the last time they developed a good young quarterback was Pennington. And the reason they did that, besides the talent, he was surrounded with the right pieces. He stepped in. He took over for Vinny. He had a tremendous offensive line, which is the most important thing. You had Coles, you had Corbett, you had Santana Moss. Donald doesn't have that luxury right now. So it's going to be on Joe Douglas and his staff to put the right pieces around him. And then you got to hope that the head coach could do the right thing and develop Donald. This year, you know what? Who knows what's going to happen this year? You know, the most important thing is we get this thing under control and everybody can get back to a normal life. But with the quarterback, you know, one thing about Donald, you know, his traits about turnovers, they go back to his USC days. That hasn't changed. He has that gunslinger mentality. It's when you can develop and you could cut down that on a little and make plays and not throw the ball when you're not supposed to. That's part of his development. It's just this year, I don't know who's going to really develop quarterbacks, even the quarterbacks coming out of the draft. Any of these kids taken in the first round, if this, let's say the season starts, whenever, late October, early October, and they can't get together till like September, the development of any of these quarterbacks, the one organization, like if the Patriots draft a quarterback, you could bet by the middle of the season, this young kid will be ready to play because they have that type of system up there. Not too many teams have that. And right now, you know, the Jets, you know, up until now, they haven't. Hopefully things can change.
Yeah,
but Ira, here's the thing, though.
Ira's right from the standpoint of without the structure going on, it's going to make it tough for all young players that are in the NFL or coming into the NFL to really be able to develop and produce early on. Like, that's going to be one of those things that's tough. And we keep talking about it with Sam and the mistakes that he's made early on in his career. People got to remember, before he got to the Jets, he'd only had 3 full seasons of playing quarterback, 1 in high school and 2 in college. So you're talking about a guy that's relatively new to the position. So there's a lot of learning that's still yet to take place with Sam, but you see the potential.
Oh, yes, the potential.
You absolutely see
there.
The potential.
It's just,
yeah, but here,
it's potential. Listen, Brownie Nagel had a lot of potential too. You know, let's see what happens. I'm a believer. I think he can get it. Like I said, you got to put the right pieces around him and you have to have the right coach. And hopefully this will be the guy that could get him going. We're going to find out.
Yeah, you need some playmakers around him. And I guess, I mean, I understand with the offseason and how it's going to end up looking with training camp and everything else that you know, he's not going to get the kind of work that, that he would necessarily get in a regular season. My point is more to, you know, when you have a kid like Sam Darnold that wants to go out there and he's, you know, a third overall draft pick with high expectations, in his mind, he has tons of talent and everyone believes he has tons of talent. If all of a sudden now he's not surrounded with talent and you're asking him to go out there and move the football and score points, he's going to take risks because he has to. If I have a bunch of wide receivers that can't create separation, I'm not going to throw the ball away. I believe in what I can do. I'm going to try to, you know, stick it in tight windows. And guess what? It's going to get picked off a lot. Like that's what I don't like, is that you're forcing the kid to go out there on a consistent basis and always try to be great. It's not easy to develop when you have to, I mean, when that's the kind of pressure you're under on a consistent basis.
Yeah, and that's not going anywhere. This is a really important year for him. For him, for the coach, for the entire organization. I think for all these guys, the one that probably can afford the most to have the Jets not be great, Chris, is the GM. But the coach needs it desperately, and I think the quarterback needs it as well.
No, the quarterback needs it, but I always go back to Adam Gase. I mean, the most success he's had as a head coach was his first year in Miami, where he had the least amount of input in terms of what the roster looked like in that given season. So, I mean, I think we've got to be looking at Adam Gase, because he's the guy, when he took over, decided that he didn't want to work with Mike Maccagnan, and they fired him. They fired the general manager that found you the quarterback. So ultimately, this is going to come down on Adam Gase if the team doesn't have a good season, but it's still has ramifications for Sam Darnold, because you would be talking about, if you fire the head coach, your young quarterback having to learn a new system, which would make it, what, three systems in 4 years?
Yep, that's exactly what it would make it. All right, let's go. It is now time for a Monday edition of Nobservations.
Do you need to feel better about your life?
Just when I think you couldn't possibly be any dumber, you go and do something like this.
And totally redeem yourself!
Let's take a look at Rick's Nobservation.
Welcome back, dum-dum.
All right, fellas. A little Monday afternoon Nobservations. I'm going to go with a good story first, as we've been doing here over the last couple weeks with Nobservations. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if you guys have seen this story yet or not. So, John Krasinski from The Office. We all know who John Krasinski is. Okay, so he is doing some good news on YouTube. So in his third installment of some good news on YouTube, he paid a special tribute to the healthcare heroes around the U.S. by getting them, are you ready for this? Free cell phone service. He got them free cell phone service. Initially, he said that he was going to try to get them. He reached out to AT&T and asked them to give every nurse and doctor in America free cell phone service for a month. AT&T decided they would offer to provide free cell phone service for 3 months. So 3 months of free cell phone service for every doctor and nurse. But on top of that, what he did was he brought on David Ortiz.
I saw this one, yeah.
He greeted five COVID unit workers from the Beth Israel Deaconess Medical Center and announced that everyone at the hospital would be receiving four tickets to see the team for the rest of their lives.
That's crazy.
How about that? And then they took a duck boat, met the workers outside the hospital, and drove them to Fenway Park, where each person got to throw out a pitch from the mound and run the bases, while Red Sox players, the mayor of Boston, and the governor of Massachusetts cheered them on from the Jumbotron.
That's awesome. It really
is. How cool is that?
That's great. And it's great to see guys that are giving back, and John Krasinski and David Ortiz and all of them. I mean, season tickets for life. That's unbelievable.
That's awesome. Yeah, that is unbelievable. Well done by him, though. Use your platform for the right things.
It's great.
I like that a lot. Speaking of using your platform, here we go. Did this happen in Florida? Woman, 27 years old, strolled into the airport, went up to Spirit Airlines counter, naked. She was completely naked.
How do you?
She was told by airline officials.
Is there security before you get into the airport?
No, no. You can walk on. This is to go get your ticket or check in. There's no security. No, you walk through the door and she walked right up to the counter.
Huh? How about that?
Straight up. She was told by airline officials that she wouldn't be able to travel in her current getup or lack thereof, and they asked her to leave. But of course, why wouldn't she? She refused. by the time a deputy arrived, the 27-year-old woman had put on a dress, but it was too short. It was too short to cover her genitals, and she was not wearing
underwear.
She
put on a child's dress. She took it off her Barbie.
She scuffled with deputies, and then then she was taken into custody. Did that happen in Florida?
Did that happen in Florida?
I mean, she got a lot of. She was booked on charges of obscenity, resisting arrest, battery of a police officer, simple battery, and remaining in a place after being forbidden. Wow.
Did that happen in Florida? Now, Spirit Airlines.
It's a laundry list.
Chris, let's think this through. Does Spirit Airlines, is that a big airline that goes to Florida? Or from
absolutely,
Florida?
Dave Rothenberg. Absolutely.
All right. Then I think we go with that happened in Florida.
Yes. I'm going to say 100% that happened in Florida.
Mr. Santiago. You do like to travel nude. Did this happen in Florida?
I am going to abstain from this one because I do know, but I will say that Spirit Airlines does scream Florida, but I'll leave it at that.
Oh, maybe she just she took it literally and she's trying to show off her spirit for flying. No, that happened in New Orleans. That was in New Orleans airport.
Oh, come on.
Come on, yeah, man. Was,
yeah.
Gulf of Mexico.
That was New Orleans.
It's Gulf of Mexico. It's in the area. It's
can
in the neighborhood.
Imagine the attendant at the window. It's not a window, but at the counter, like looks up and he's like, and next, and he's like, whoa.
But how does she even?
I'm pretty sure he saw her before he or she saw her before she got up to the counter.
Oh, good.
My favorite part of the whole story, though, is that they tell her no, she has to leave. She doesn't. So I mean, they call the authorities, and in her mind, you know what? I'm just going to throw this dress on. I'll be fine. It's like a little child's dress that she's got no underwear on, and just everything's still exposed.
Too good.
Can't get in trouble with this one. Here's another one. I'm not sure if you guys have seen this story or not, or how you would feel about this.
This is also Florida?
No, this is not Florida. This is just a completely separate story, sports related.
Okay.
This involves soccer star Neymar. Neymar's mom, she is 52 years old. She had been married to Neymar's dad, who is also his agent, for 25 years. They were divorced in 2016. Would you like to guess how old Neymar's mom's current boyfriend is?
22.
He is 22 years old, and here's the best part of the
story. I got it right on the head?
Right on the head.
Wow.
So her new boyfriend, who's 22 years old, actually has revealed that he is a huge fan of Neymar and actually sent them a message in 2017. Neymar, you are fantastic. I don't know how to explain the emotion of being a fan of a guy like you. I see you playing and I'm very motivated. One day I hope to read this message with you, be your brother or your dad, and play together. I know that one day I will meet you because I am a dreamy boy where I do not give up on my goals.
Boy.
Stay with God, very successful and happy.
Oh my God.
You know, have you seen the movie Four Christmases with Vince Vaughn?
Yes.
It reminds me of remember the scene when he goes to visit his mom, and she's sitting down with her new husband.
Uh huh.
And he goes, "I just want us to be friends." And Vince Vaughn goes, "We were friends. We were best friends."
Yeah.
before you started sleeping with my mom.
Oh God.
Oh, too much.
But what is she doing? A 22-year-old who's desperate to just get into Neymar's life, that's really a bad job by her.
See, but
that's
what makes it sketchy. But here's the thing, though. I don't think he knows this because he actually commented on her Instagram post, "Be happy, Mom. Love you."
Oh, God.
I don't think he even realizes that this guy is, like, obsessed with him.
There's no way he doesn't know. If he's obsessed with him, there's no way he doesn't know.
He might not know until he reads this article. "I hope to read this message with you, be your brother." He could end up being his dad.
Can he punish him?
"I hope one day you'll call me daddy."
I guess he could.
Your mom already does.
Yeah. Oh, God, man. I couldn't even imagine that.
I want you in by 11:30, Neymar.
Oh, wow.
"I want us to be friends." Well, you were my friend until you started sleeping with my mom. did you guys see this? I know you guys saw this, but I'll bring it up because it's topical. The Dak Prescott story.
I hate this story.
I know. So local police in the Dallas suburb of Prosper actually had to go to Dak Prescott's residence after receiving a report of a potential party. Apparently, but here's the thing. If you're going to have it, why know, like being aware of the current circumstances, including the fact that the state you live in has a safer at home mandate and you wanted to have a party, why would you let anyone know? Like, why would you post pictures of you actually having the party? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I don't think he cares.
I find that hard to believe, man. Like, this is.
I don't think it was Dak that posted the pictures, though. It was the people that went to the party, right?
I don't care who it was. Like, go, like, have the brace. Like, what would Derek Jeter do if you come into the party under these circumstances? No one posts a thing about it. Not that I'm condoning it, but if you're gonna be stupid enough to have 30 people at your house,
right?
You don't have to broadcast.
But how disrespectful is it that every governor is telling their state, do not leave the house and social distance and do not gather, and this guy has the disrespect to have a party of 30 people? I mean, it's really a disgusting story.
Well, I mean, Dave, he's going about his, I guess this is what he does. I mean, this is when you talk about young kids that make foolish mistakes. This is a mistake that Dak Prescott has made. This is an obvious misstep. And it's on the heels of him having the misstep earlier last week when he was throwing with Dez Bryant. Not supposed to be doing that either, but he is. But when you have young men of means with a lot of time on their hands, you worry about them making foolish decisions. And this is an example of it. But he ain't the only one.
But Chris, this is what I don't like about what Dallas is doing with Dak Prescott. I mean, this stuff I think is separate. But I mean, by not having him signed already, and like having the potential where he, you know, has to not show up to, if they did have OTAs, not like all you're doing is corroding, like what like, he's known as being a great leader. He doesn't want to be a bad guy. Like he wants to beat all that stuff, but now he has no choice because you put him in a position where he has to make that decision. Like, why are you doing this to a guy who is the unquestioned leader of your team? Like, get this thing done. Get it taken care of.
Rick, you know I don't know. I've been saying the Dallas Cowboys should have signed him last offseason. The longer that they waited, the more money it was going to cost them. It absolutely makes no sense that they haven't signed him to a contract yet.
It's ridiculous. As far as the last story for today's observations, I am nominating one Rick DiPietro for an observations today.
What'd you do now?
Yeah, I'm going to need your advice on this. I had a weird moment yesterday. So I got a tweet that they were re-showing a 2006 Islanders-Rangers game on MSG. So I'm laying in bed with Cass. I flip it on, and she says, you know what you should do? You should tape this so Milo can see it. He'll be pumped to watch you. So I tape it, and then I turn it on, and we're watching it yesterday. And it was pretty much the Jaromir Jagr show, and where I taped it, it was already 3-0 Rangers. So Milo picked up on it immediately. Goes, oh, this is. I said, yeah, this is me and the Islanders playing against the Rangers. He goes, oh, that's great, Dad. You hate the Rangers. You guys are winning, right? It was already 3-0, but he didn't like. He couldn't tell which team was winning. So I just blatantly lied to him. I said, he goes, are you guys up 3-0? I said, yeah, we're winning 3-0.
Now let's go throw the baseball outside.
Just blatantly lied right to his face. It's like, oh, you guys are doing good. I'm like, oh, yeah, we're up. We're up. Yep. We're winning 3-0.
I'm going to turn this off now. We win 9-0. I stop all 49 shots, and let's go shoot some hoops.
Yeah, that's what he goes. He goes, do you jump on your teammates when you win? I'm like, yep, after this game, I'll probably jump on the team.
and let's get out of here. Yeah. At least you covered it up quickly, though. You had no choice.
I don't want him to think less of me.
No. I understand. You did nothing wrong.
And there you have it.
Nothing wrong. Clearly, he doesn't listen to the show. Otherwise, you'd have exposed yourself to...
That can't be the end of observations.
Uh-oh.
Well, what else we have?
Oh, you missed the one with Kyle Larson on the iRacing yesterday?
Well, I didn't want to, listen, I got 4 more days.
Oh, okay. All right. I was just saying one of the most egregious observations over the weekend.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
And maybe we'll lead in observations with that story tomorrow.
Okay.
Let's do that.
I'm just saying, what was the most knobbish thing that happened over the weekend? This would have to be it, right?
Yeah, it was.
Oh, okay, all right.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So we want to put it off tomorrow.
That story.
Okay.
Tomorrow, absolutely.
DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg. Weekdays at 10 on 98.7 ESPN.